Ron Heron for AM 1290.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Money Talk. I'm Neil Kreisel, and Diane Duva and I are your hosts every week, right here at AM 1290, repeated at 11, and Saturdays at 6. We're brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending, whose highly trained and experienced team takes great pride in helping people with home financing, offering competitive rates and a wide array of loan programs. Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1937, located on the corner of Olive and Cota Street in downtown Santa Barbara. And Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm in Santa Barbara, providing its clients with the personal care and attention of a small independent firm, coupled with the vast resources of a major financial institution.
Good afternoon, Neil. How are you today?
Well, I think that this is a day everyone should be listening to us.
Absolutely, with all that's going on in the market, for sure.
Yeah, and if you listen to the show today, you will know everything you need to know about the stock market. Is that true? Is that part of your exams?
Hey, I don't make promises like that. That's your department.
Plus, besides learning about why the market's going down, we also have a fantastic guest today.
We have Patrick Braid, who's the owner of the Village Cheese and Wine Store on East Valley Road. And also, he's an investment banker and owes so much more in terms of his breadth of experience with the public markets and private markets.
And what a savior he was during the mudstorm. He was providing free everything for the first responders and people who, whatever reasons, didn't evacuate. So we have to give him great props for that, and we'll be talking about that. But first, let's talk about what's going on in the world. And we have a couple of articles that we're going to talk about revolving around interest rate increases and government deficits and
the effects that it has basically on markets and right, all of our investments.
So there's been some talk, in fact, there's been a lot of talk in the last 3-4 days about how this affects the equity market. And I thought before we even begin with the articles, we talk about one of the fundamental reasons why there's such a relationship between the bond market and the stock market. The reason is that Graham and Dodd and some of the early fundamentalists in the stock market always set forth the following theory, which I believe in, and that is a stock, an equity, is worth the discounted value of all of its future dividends. And so there's a direct link between what a company will pay out in dividends or earnings over the next 10 or 15 years, and what the price of the equity is. In fact, if you look at the P/E ratio of a stock, and the P/E ratio, in the simple sense, if a company is selling at 10 times earnings, and let's say it's got a price of $10 and a $1 earnings per share, you say it's 10 times earnings. But if you flip that ratio around and take the reciprocal of it, 1 over 10, that's 10%. So what a 10 times P/E ratio is really saying to the world is that investors are looking for a 10% return on capital to buy that particular security. And another way of looking at it is that if a stock is worth the present value of its future dividends, there needs to be a discount rate to bring it back to present value. And the discount rate has within it, the proper way of calculating a discount rate is interest rates, that it is the rate of the risk-free return. So the basis of any long-term valuation has to be what interest rates are. So as interest rates go up, the discount rate of future earnings goes up, which means the value of a particular security is going to go down because the present value discounted at that higher rate is going to result in less value for that earnings or dividends. Okay, so that's
a great explanation.
Thank you. So now let's take a look at some of the articles. So again, last week was the first time, and this is my second time bringing in a Washington Post article. And this is entitled, "The U.S. Government is Set to Borrow Nearly $1 Trillion This Year," which is an 84% increase from last year. And what I find to be both ironic and disturbing is that when this was announced on Friday, the Treasury Department said that the reason for the doubling of the government borrowing is to pay for the big jump in the deficit, which was caused by, quote-unquote, fiscal outlook, which whatever that means, whereas the CBOE, the Independent Congressional Budget Office, said the reason that borrowing is so high this year is because of the expected deficit because of the new tax law. So, you know, you can argue about whether the tax change is going to be a plus over the next few years, but there's no denying that the tax law right now is causing deficits to grow, which is then causing borrowing to go up, which is then causing interest rates to rise.
Absolutely. And when you put it in perspective of what the Treasury borrowed this past year, which was something like $500 billion, to double that in 1 year is an extreme increase of where we want to be. And it's going to have lasting ramifications.
And what's so interesting is the second article, this is from the Wall Street Journal, which I think is like a companion in a good way. It says the last time we had this tremendous need to borrow money was in 2007, 2008. But the difference the article talks about then is that everyone was so afraid of the world coming to an end that there was this international desire to be in a safe place. And the safe place for almost everyone was the U.S. dollar. And so
it was the most reliable. And so I think that's why the flight to safety play. But now as the deficit starts to creep up, and I would actually argue that it's no longer a creep, but jumping up, you know, it starts to question whether or not investors are going to see the U.S. as a safe haven.
And this goes to, and that's why interest rates may continue to rise, as we need to attract foreign money to buy our debt. And what's so ironic is the stimulus part of the tax cut was to incentivize companies to invest more, but a good part of investing is using debt. And as interest rates rise, then the calculation companies use to make capital expenditures is going to cause them to use a higher discount rate, which is going to make some projects less attractive. So this may have a negative impact on companies' decision to invest in capital equipment. The next article, which I think is ironic given what's happened the last 2 days, is from the Wall Street Journal, and it's entitled, How to Lose 93% of Your Money and Be Happy About It. And it's actually funny, but it's not a joke. There are hedge funds that are 100% devoted to selling short. And over the last 15 years, they've all done horribly because the stock market's basically gone straight up since 2007. But when you speak, as this author did, to people who bought the hedge fund and the people who run these hedge funds, they're very happy. Why? Because they bought these funds as a way of hedging against their bullish investments in general. So as crazy as it sounds, there are funds that are devoted basically to betting on the market going down. The market didn't go down, and people—and the irony is this article is dated January 12th, so people are probably smiling now that do own this because, in fact, what happens is they were hedging against what we just saw, which was a 5% decline in the stock market.
Right.
Now, this article, which is our final article for today, is my favorite, even though I have no idea what it means. And the title of it is, The Stock Market Works by Day, But It Loves the Night. And what somebody did, probably because they had too much time on their hands, they went and they took a look at returns over a 70-year period. And they looked at returns, first of all, from 1993 until last week, market is up 571%. And what they did is they took a look at every single day of that period. And they found that all of the gain came from people buying stock in the last hour, whereas none of the gain came from people buying the stock on the first hour of the following day.
Right. So basically what they did was they compared if you held a stock at the opening bell, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, and then sold it before the market closed versus buying it before the market closed at, you know, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and held it overnight and sold it that next day, what the returns were.
Right. And the returns were spectacular. That is, if you did the former, you were up 570%. If you did the latter, your return was up 4.4%.
And the crazy thing is about this article is they don't know why.
So they did a test based on not knowing how it would come out. They have some speculative ideas of hypotheses of why this happened, but they admit they have no idea. So this is just food for thought. Now, in my view, it doesn't really matter because the idea of selling and buying a stock based on a day is insane. I think if you're going to invest, you should be investing for 10, 15, 20 years, not 1 hour.
Well, I think the point of that article is if you buy the companies and you hold on to them, you do better than that day trader buying and selling throughout the course of the day.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit the KellyMarshTeam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
Are you ready to start and run your own successful business? Ready to grow your small business or home business? Women's Economic Ventures is a local nonprofit helping women start and build successful businesses. In addition to their highly successful self-employment training program, Weave offers services to help women succeed at every stage of their business, from startup and launch to building and sustaining a business, including individual business counseling, professional networking events, advanced business training, and small business loans to start or expand a business. Over 1,000 local businesses are now owned and operated by women who have taken part in programs and services. Whether you're ready to start up, launch, build, or sustain your business, Women's Economic Ventures is right here to help you make it happen. Call 965-6073 or visit weaveonline.org.
Welcome back to Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending since 1988, a mortgage banker and direct lender that believes in providing in-depth loan consulting to its customers in a personalized and honest manner.
The Kelly Marsh team is a great one over at Cornerstone.
Absolutely. And I was just going to say that if you're interested in talking to us or our guests, we can be reached at 564-1290.
And we have Patrick Braid, the owner of Village Cheese and Wine Shop. Is it shop or store?
Shop
on East Valley Road, and he has such a unique story to share with us today of his experience throughout the last 2 months of all the natural disasters that our community has experienced. So, Patrick, tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're from and how you ended up with a cheese shop on East
sure.
Valley Road.
Thank you. Yeah, so born in New Zealand, right? But
A Kiwi.
I'm a bloody Kiwi, as my father would say. Grew up in Santa Barbara. I've been at that shop since I was 3 years old. So, you know, we've been there for 43 years.
What did you do before that?
But
no, I'm joking.
When I was a kid or now? The wine and cheese, a lot of the community, they call it the wine and cheese. They know it as the wine and cheese. And, you know, it's considered to be literally an institution in the community, right? My dad was beloved by many. He was a beautiful person, a beautiful man, right? And sadly, 2 years ago, January 2016, he passed, right? As we discussed, you know, I'm kind of an entrepreneur. I do, I structure and raise money for early stage companies. You know, I do strategic partnerships. I build boards. That's what I do. A lot of risk in that type of business, right? The play is for equity, and a lot of time, you know, nothing materializes. But, you know, I go for it, right?
Right. Well, I have a lot of entrepreneur friends, and we always say if it were easy, everybody would be doing it, right?
That's right. So, so going back to there, my dad passed away.
Is that when you took over?
Yeah, and it was, the question was, this is not what I do. It's a nickel and dime business. It really doesn't really, it was not like it was a big money maker or anything, right? But I'll tell you what happened, which changed my mind to step up and take over the business, was quite frankly, was the outpouring from the community, okay, Montecito community, the Montecito Fire Department, who made the eulogy, brought a wreath to my father's memorial, and I've become really good friends with a number of the firemen. Keith Powell.
Well, and I think it's important to share with everyone what you're wearing today. So he has a Cal Fire baseball cap on and the Santa Barbara Bucket Brigade T-shirt, which
that's
means
right.
you've been out there shoveling and helping out in the community for sure.
I haven't been shoveling, but I'm feeding the shovelers.
You're feeding the
residents, right, who've lost basically everything. So we do this, obviously, at no charge. In good conscience, it's not something that we would be comfortable in doing. So I put together like a little GoFundMe, right? It was a shot in the dark to see if we can bring in contributions, because I wasn't comfortable in having anybody pay, right? But just kind of digressing a little bit back to the story about why I took over the business was the community, the fire department, and the kids, the Montecito Union kids and all the kids around the community, right? Crane, Laguna Blanca, and so on. It's a tradition for 43 years that the graduating class of Montecito Union, for 43 years, every Friday at 3, they're at our shop. We have got candy, we got sandwiches, we got soda pop, and then they all hang out in the grassy knoll there on the Upper Village, right? I'm talking 43 years. And I'll give you an example of how powerful this really is. I had a dad walk in a check for me today for $4,000. And the reason that he did was that his daughter, Ann, she is in New York. And she loved the wine and cheese. And she loved the community in Montecito Union. She put together her own fundraiser and raised $6,000 to give to us so that we can continue doing what we're doing. So it's amazing, some of the stories and, just amazing what a lot of people are doing. It's mind-boggling.
Well, I heard, I was evacuated for, 2.5 weeks. And during that period, I heard about what you were doing from people. And first, I didn't believe it. And then secondly, I did believe it. And third, I wanted to meet you because it was an amazing story that you were providing. And it wasn't just that you were doing it for free, which is incredibly, you were doing it. I mean, there was no way to get food there.
No.
You were providing the ability of first responders not to have to go and find a place to eat. You were giving them the opportunity to stay at work. And so it was just an amazing, given the culture we have today and the selfishness we have today, it was just quite unbelievable that you would do something like this.
Well, they're very well taken care of by EOC and the various organizations, but think about what they're doing, right? What I wanted to do is to provide a sense of normalcy, right? A fresh sandwich cut right then and there, right? A sense of camaraderie, right? I've made friends now with battalion chiefs, six engines, and they're giving me, as you see, I've got hats, which is now our uniform, of every agency. I'm talking the CHP, I'm talking the Sheriff's Department, I'm talking Cal Fire, Montecito Fire Department, Santa Maria Fire, just a myriad of all the agencies that were, and I have hats. Have you seen the hats?
Yeah.
All stacked up, and every day I wear a different hat and I wear a different shirt.
Right.
These guys can't be forgotten. You know what I mean? So that's why we're doing what we're doing. And quite frankly, I saw everything unravel from the Thomas Fire. I was there. We were at ground zero. My brother and I, we never left. My brother Carl Braid never left, right? And, sometimes it's the smallest things that make the biggest impression. And do you want to know what that is?
Yes.
Okay. It was funny because, when we were there at the fire, it was intense. We knew if a law enforcement officer saw us there in the store, they would have kicked us out.
Yeah,
right?
He would have gotten tossed.
They said, get the hell out of here, right? And it was funny because then a big fireman, right, like, you know, 6 foot five, comes pounding on the door, right? And we're all, my brother and I were all, oh, no, hey, you know, we're leaving, because we wanted to get some of the sentimental things, you know, my father's memorial and, you know, stuff like this that had a sentimental value to us. And we're all, no, we're leaving. He says, I don't give a, you know what, do you have a bathroom? It's the smallest things make the biggest impression.
Right.
We had 100 firemen, you know, that day, that Saturday, you know, which was, you know, it looked like 200, 500 homes were going to go up in flames, right? So you know, we provide them a little refuge, a bathroom, right? You know, a handmade sandwich, right? A cold drink and a Snickers in their back pocket. And those guys really appreciated it, you know, really appreciated it. So, you know, when we had these mudslides, right, we knew what we had to do. And I literally, my brother and I, we reconned in there. We went and bought, you know, big boots and pants, and my brother had a backpack with, you know, a hatchet and rope. We didn't know what we were going to get into, right? It was intense. And we walked right past knee to waist high mud at Montecito Inn, you know, cut up at Olive Mill, up through, was it Hot Springs, right? And it's so live. I mean, you can hear whizzing natural gas leaks, and you can smell it, right? To the point that if it sparked, we're incinerated, kind of a thing, right? But we had to do it. Number one, we wanted to see, is the store standing? And if it's standing, spring into action. So it was standing. What did we do? We put the open sign on, no power, right? We put a candle in the bathroom so the boys could have, a candle-lit bathroom, literally, right? And you had everybody there. National Reserves, the Water Swift Rescue guys. You had probably 12 different departments, right? And we're seeing this is ground zero. This is command and control, right? The mud was so thick that none of the engines could get through. So the reserve, and by the way, all this is documented on our Facebook page, Village Cheese and Wine, and also Instagram, Village Cheese and Wine. But so we saw this whole thing evolve. And, you know, literally the search and rescue guys were all jumping into the National Reserves, these big, huge trucks with tires, because that's the only thing that could get to them, right?
And those were the vehicles that saved or that rescued a lot of people from their rooftops.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah. And I'm sad to, you know, sadly, you know, even my landlord, Norman Borgatello, lost his life partner, his girlfriend, Josie, right?
How did you get food? How did the food get delivered?
That's a good question. You know, like I said, I'm very strategic in thinking. We talked about that, right? And in my experience in, you know, building boards, and you have to be, it's a chess game. You have to be 10 steps ahead. And you have to anticipate a lot of different things, right? I knew come Wednesday, Montecito was on lockdown, right? I called the Santa Barbara Police Department. I said, hey, you need to give me authority to come in. They said, no way, ain't going to happen. I called the Montecito, my friends at the Montecito Fire Department. I didn't hear back from them. Obviously, they're saving babies in the mud, right? My Hail Mary was to the CHP, and specifically Assistant Sergeant Joe Rodriguez and Sergeant Stevens. I mean, these guys are heroes. They took a leap of faith in me that has affected potentially thousands now, right?
Absolutely. Right. You know, I have clients who were singing your praises when I was calling, reaching out to them to make sure that they were okay, saying, you know, these guys saved me because I didn't have enough food and I could ride my bike down there and, you know, get a sandwich. And, you know, they're really local heroes.
It was insane. I mean, literally, we had refugees. I mean, you know, and, you know, for the ones that, you know, couldn't come to us because they were afraid that, hey, if they leave the house, they'll get arrested
be able to get back
exactly.
In.
Or in some cases, you know, they're in areas where there's just too much damage, right? Where they can't go through. So going back to that, you know, Rodriguez and Stevens took this leap of faith. I basically had 100% unfettered access as if I was a law enforcement officer, right? I had the personal cell phone number of Rodriguez so that every time I got hassled at the checkpoint, I would hand over the phone. You want to know what he'd say?
Let him in.
No, not like that. They would say, oh, he's good. That's all you need to know. Let him through. That's how much, you know, what we were doing meant to those guys.
You're listening to Money Talk on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back. We come.
Take an ordinary putty knife and scrape off the old wax ring. Place the new wax ring over the flange, then line up the bolts with the bowl and gently set in place, making sure a proper seal is created with the flange and drain. Next?
Dad?
Yeah, sweetie?
Is that an old plumbing manual?
Oh, yeah, honey.
We really need to get some new books.
Right, do you want me to stop?
Nah, I kinda wanna know how it ends.
Okay. Tighten the bolts, line up the flushing valve to the opening in the top of the bowl, and secure the tank with a screwdriver and crescent wrench.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
If you have trouble handling your anger, get help. If someone you love is hurting or scaring you, get help. There is a full-service domestic violence agency in Santa Barbara County, which offers emergency shelter, counseling, transitional housing, anger management, and teen outreach programs. Its name is Domestic Violence Solutions for Santa Barbara County. Call their 24-hour helpline at 964-5245. Domestic Violence Solutions for Santa Barbara County, putting an end to domestic violence.
Did you know that domestic violence sends more than 500 women and children to emergency shelters every year? There is a place where all family members affected by domestic violence can get help. Domestic Violence Solutions for Santa Barbara County, with four 24-hour phone lines to help. In Santa Barbara, call 964-5245. In Santa Maria, call 925-2160. In Lompoc, call 736-0965. And in Santa Ynez, call
686-4390. Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
And we have a caller. Hi, caller.
Hi, this is Tyler. I just wanted to call. I've heard a lot about your story, Patrick, and I wanted to share my appreciation for how much you've done. It does sound like you guys are giving back an insane amount, and I wanted to know, is there anything that the community can do to kind of help this keep going to, you know, offset those losses that you guys are taking by doing such a great thing?
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I would say that, you know, we have, you know, the way that we've been able to accomplish this, me and my team, you know, my girls there at the shop, Victoria Delgado and Kelly Stanford, and a myriad of volunteers that have stepped up to the plate to help. I mean, literally yesterday I had 10 volunteers helping us, you know, make sandwiches for the Bucket Brigade and for the residents. I've had firemen and CHP officers and sheriffs behind making sandwiches with me, literally, right?
That's awesome.
And then going out in the CHP car and hand delivering it to residences. Now, I could tell you some powerful stories that would just blow your mind. And if you go on my Facebook page for the Village Cheese and Wine, right, and you look at some of those you know, some of those posts that we made, you know, there was this one couple who, you know, basically almost got swept under the mud, right? They're the ones that off St. Thomas, where their next door neighbor across the street got blown out on a mattress, right. and with the lady with two kids ended up in her house all hunkered up, right? And they're all scared for their lives, you know, for 4 hours, right? And we showed up there with Charmaine of the CHP. Another officer with a CHP named Lamb, and you know, we showed up there, and she was just completely broken down, right? But just giving, just a small act of giving her a little sandwich and a bag of chips and a drink, right? She responded back the following day after the post, basically saying that, hey, you know what, what you guys did, you saw me at my lowest moment in my life, right?
It's very emotional. It's It's you were helping people in their biggest time of need.
Yeah, and she said basically that she was rejuvenated by the act and the kind encouragement, right?
Right, and so to get back to thank you, Tyler, for your call. Do you have any other questions?
Just how do we go about volunteering if we do want to come and help you out?
Well, just come on by the shop, and then we have an interim kind of a Go fundraiser that we've been doing, which enables me to, keep the lights on, support my team, buy the supplies. Now, obviously, we're at a point now where we're more than doubled the output of what our typical business is, right? Because we've extended our hours. We're now, 10 to 7, 7 days a week, right? And our goal is to continue to support these amazing volunteers that step up to the plate to come and dig out these homes with buckets. I mean, literally, I'm talking, you need 50 people per home. We need thousands of people. If you talk to Abe Powell of the Bucket, we need a couple thousand people down there, right? I mean, we're talking years here, it looks like, right? So, we're trying to raise some money. I mean, in good conscience, we will not accept money for profit. We will utilize this capital to continue doing what we're doing. And now, people have been so generous that I'm kind of putting out the word that, hey, with surplus cash that we have, if there's a family out there that, can't eat, can't drive, needs a couple bills paid or something, we'll help out, right? So that's the best way to help out is our GoFund and get the word out and follow us. And, we're just going to do everything it takes to, help rebuild the community.
Right. Well, thank you so much for all you've done. That pretty much answers it for me.
I'll look forward to meeting you.
Thanks for the call. So, that's a great point in that if you are looking to help, They do have a Facebook page, which is the Village Wine and Cheese.
Yeah.
And they're, Patrick has also set up a 501c3 charity to really help.
We're in the preliminary stages. We're in the process. I'm building the board to do that. I think that the way people can really help the most right now, which is time critical, is to sign up and volunteer with the Bucket Brigade. That's what you see
right
here. Okay. APAL is the chief. He's a director of the Montecito Fire Department, but he's the chief of the Bucket Brigade. Okay,
right.
We need hundreds or thousands of people.
He just helped a friend of mine dig out, and she's eternally grateful. It's the before and after photos were just remarkable.
Yeah.
So it's a huge help, and we urge you all to go volunteer if you have a free day or two. They can definitely use all
that. We need
the
arms down there getting mud out of there. And in return, obviously, we feed.
Right, and you get a free lunch out of the deal.
Yeah, we feed our people. I mean, it's the least that we can do, right?
So back to when you were, all of Montecito was in lockdown, basically, and the mudslide had happened and the freeway was closed. How did you get the supplies that you needed to even make the sandwiches and give out the water at that point?
Very good question. Yeah, because, from a small business perspective, right?
You didn't have that much.
Well, I'll tell you. After the Thomas fire, we were out for a week and a half. My business bank account, I'm $700 to bankruptcy.
Right.
Okay. If it wasn't for the help of even my landlord, I said, hey, I can't make the rent. Can you float me? Right. An amazing man. Yeah. Coming into this, obviously, we stepped up. It was scary. Right, because at one point I'm negative $800 in my bank account.
Right.
So what I did, thinking ahead, I said, well, I need to get some help from people. Right. So first of all, the following day on Wednesday, right, I kind of figured we probably wouldn't have power, so I called Home Depot, and I said, hey, would you donate a freaking generator for us, right? And the guy there made a call. And he said yes, right?
Wow.
And that was critical because listen, I mean, when I said to Rodriguez what I was doing, he says, I'll get you in. I got to go pick up the governor at 10. You mean back here at 10? I'll get you in. So then I went out. I got the generator from home and just 100 miles an hour, got back and made it, right? And then the next step,
because without that generator, I think it's important for people to realize that you wouldn't have any supplies. There would be no food without refrigeration.
Well, that's what I thought. But here's a miracle, right? A little miracle. Would you believe, even on that Wednesday, the following Wednesday, I had full power. I had air conditioning. I had even high-speed internet access. No one else around me.
Wow.
Not even the fire department across the street had anything, right? So
that is crazy.
Yeah. It's mind-boggling. Do we have more time?
Yeah.
Okay. So going back to that. So what I did is I needed supplies and I needed them now. I couldn't wait to see if people were going to contribute on this GoFund, right?
Right.
So I called Trader Joe's, okay, and specifically Steve Bly, store manager off Milpas. Those guys stepped up to the plate and gave me supplies. And I'm talking, we're like an emergency makeshift grocery store. I'm talking eggs, gallons of milk, right? Butter, right? All that kind of stuff. Then I called Smart and Finals off Milpas. Gutierrez.
Gutierrez. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Charles Lowe, store manager, stepped up to the plate, called his higher ups. So I was being supported by Trader Joe's, Home Depot, and Smart and Finals. Those guys were amazing.
Wow, what a great community effort, really, to help you help you be the boots on the street to really distribute to those in need.
Exactly, yeah. So I would go out, I just stay at the store because I had to be there. I had extended my hours. We used to be 10:30 to 4 only Monday through Friday, but this was such a critical situation that we extended our hours from 10 to 7 every day. 7 days a week.
Who brought the food in?
Me. I had to.
So you couldn't let they wouldn't truck it because they wouldn't get past the security.
No, I'm the only one who had unfettered access. Right. So I had.
So did you leave your brother at the store? Did he have to stay there and you went in and out?
No. He would help when he could, but what I would do, I would go do the runs. Okay. Pick up my girls, right, Victoria Delgado, okay, and also Kelly Stanford. And then I would have to bring them in. Only I had access. Mm. I had authorization from the higher ups, to do this. And once again, those guys are the heroes. A small little decision like that has affected potentially thousands.
Absolutely.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
It's a fact. Successful wealth management is built on strategies that focus on the big picture, take a long-term view, and establish deep and valued relationships. Hello, I'm Diane Duva, founding partner at Arlington Financial Advisors, Santa Barbara's trusted family guide, empowering you to make more informed and confident decisions. At Arlington Financial Advisors, we bring order and balance to your financial life by monitoring and managing risk so you can focus on your work, family, and enjoying the moment. We are a fully independent firm offering strategic financial planning, estate and tax planning, and private money management. Our plans and portfolios are handcrafted using a rigorous and disciplined approach, supported by a consistent yet highly personalized client experience. Our clients look to Arlington Financial Advisors as a home away from home, a comfortable place to protect what they've accomplished while they prepare for what comes next. Please visit arlingtonfinancialadvisors.com or call me, Diane Duva, at 805-699-7300.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You accidentally cut your daughter's bangs unevenly. Do you A, line things up a centimeter from her hairline?
Man, oh man.
No, sweatbands are so hot right now. Everyone's wearing them, like that basketball player and that other basketball player.
B, get spiritual.
Mom, where did all the mirrors go?
A reflection could never capture our true selves.
Huh?
Beauty is within? Om.
C, look on the bright side.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or D, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
to... Ta-da! Twinsies!
I kind of love it. As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1937, located on the corner of Olive and Cota Street in downtown Santa Barbara.
You know, on a side note, on Arnaldi's, they are redoing the lighting and the fencing around the bocce ball court, so you should come down and check it out.
And they had no damage at all, obviously, from...
No damage at all from...
And I ate there the other night on Friday, and oh boy, it was amazing.
Yeah. Oh, the food at Arnaldi's is great.
It was insane.
Yeah.
Did they charge you?
Well, they didn't know who I was.
So, if you're just joining us, we're with Patrick Braid, the owner of the Wine and Cheese Store.
Yeah.
I'm like, always shop store.
You can just call it
the Wine and Cheese
wine
in Montecito.
And, cheese. Yeah.
And really talking about his heroic efforts in helping our community during its biggest time of need. And, you know, really, when we look out there and see the unsung heroes, yes, it is all those first responders. But I think you're right there with them in helping these people who chose to shelter in place really have access to food, water. And, you know, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for doing what you did out there.
Well, I don't think I'm not doing anything that you wouldn't have done if put in that situation, right? So, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, consequences and timing, and, you know, and then doing the right thing.
Now, were you at the shop when the mudslides actually were happening, or were you?
I was actually at East Beach, and that's a good question. Victoria Delgado, who lives right there on Danielson, right?
Oh yeah, right around the corner.
You know, yeah. So she wasn't affected, but she sent me a picture of, texted me a picture of the glow in the hills, and I thought she was joking at first.
Right.
But I jumped in my car and I drove down Coast Village Road. I was tailing 10 engines, and I found it odd how they all were doing U-turns right around the Honor Bar, right? I quickly found out because
why?
I'm running over bark and I see a river, right? And I backed up and got out of there, and, you know, they ended up at the bottle shop, and I got out of the car. I said, what the heck's going on? They said, well, there's four structures exploded on fire, and we can't get to them, right? So I was there at 4 a.m, you know, and then that's when my brother and I, Carl, once it was light, we went out and bought all the supplies, all the, you know, the rubber boots and pants and all that stuff, and then reconned in there, right? But yeah, it was intense. Going back to, you know, just another personal story, you know, right there, Victoria on Danielson, we have another good friend, Richard and Stacy. You know, with their granddaughter, Lily, and they were close to the freeway. I forget what street it's called, but, you know, they had basically a telephone pole come down into their living room. They had 4 foot of mud come in. They were almost overtaken. They were had to be pulled out off a little window, barely made it out alive, right? And then they all went to Victoria's to kind of, you know, have some refuge. I think the, you know, powerful story behind that, you know, after a few days, you know, Stacy, they're good friends of ours, and she actually worked for my father for years. You know, she called frantic saying, hey, you know, I need it. Who can I talk to in law enforcement? I have walking sticks that are very sentimental that she had for her children, you know, like Indian walking sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm concerned that, you know, the place is going to be demoed and we'll never get them back, right?
Right.
And so, I took kind of did a little mission down there and, you know, was able to get in and with Victoria and, you know, we saw a fireman and explained what the situation was. And that fireman, that hero, went in there with us and grabbed those walking sticks and we saved them, right? You know, those guys are amazing.
Oh, absolutely. So in terms of where your shop is, you had just mentioned that you, like many small businesses, whether it be in Montecito or in Santa Barbara through the Thomas Fire, are teetering. Many of our small businesses here, many of our State Street stores, you know, they're really teetering on making it through this natural disaster. What advice do you have for people out there who want to help, not only you, but, you know, our whole community?
Yeah, well, I'll give you an example. I mean, yeah, everybody's struggling, right? I mean, even businesses on State Street.
Oh, absolutely.
I'll give you a prime example. Anderson's Bakery, on Figueroa and State Street, right? Ironically, I was talking about doing a partnership with Charlotte, one of the owners, back about a year or so ago. Nothing materialized, but it took a catastrophe to put us back together, right? Mm-hmm. I was in Smart and Finals, and I told her what was going on, and she stepped up to the plate. And believe it or not, we've had Anderson's amazing world-class pastries and coffee, right, in the shop, right? And that she's done everything 100% gratis, right?
Wow.
So let's show you know, Anderson's Bakery there some love. I mean, those guys have been amazing. Pietro at Via Vai, right next door to me, he owns Via Vai and
Panivino.
You know, he's a good friend of mine, and funny, they call me the coyote, right? Because I would bring him and his workers in during this downtime so that they could work on the, at least do something and work on the shop, and they actually put in a new, you know, brand new pizza oven had shipped in from Italy. But yeah, I mean, we're all teetering on the edge, you know, but that's a good man right there, because he's, you know, he stepped up and made his payroll, you know, big payroll, 50 people, right?
Wow. Yeah. That's a big payroll.
A lot of other companies didn't do that. Right. So, you know, that was a, you know, let's show some love to those folks. And obviously, you know, even just a lot of the people, you know, like Claire Swan and the frame shop, Joyce there. I mean, she would come in and make sandwiches with us, right? Mm-hmm. And really pitch in and stuff. So, you know, there's a lot of amazing people, a lot of amazing stories, right?
And one of the things, the misconceptions about Montecito is that everybody's rich, and everyone isn't rich. There are a lot of people there that are working class people that ended up losing their hourly job and losing their life as well. And, you know, the view of Montecito from afar is that it's just these big estates. But look at some of these houses that were wiped out, they're not estates. And so the destruction was really across the whole economic spectrum.
It sure was.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back with our final segment.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
Hey, at our startup, my team and I move at the speed of tech 24/7. And every single day, it's information overload. It's coming at me from all directions. And you know what? Bottom line, I just need the news that matters. So where do I turn? Local radio and TV. I want to hear from people who live and work in my town. They give me the real story with information I know I can rely on. So where else can I find out what's happening in my community? Weather and traffic, things that affect my family and my business. I want to stay informed by sources I trust, my local radio and TV stations. For the best entertainment, sports, news, traffic, and weather, with no agenda and more reliable than other platforms. So if you ask me for the information I want anytime, anywhere, I stay local. Support your local station. Text radio to 52886 today. Furnished by the NAB and this station. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
And Patrick, so thank you so much for being here with us today. And, you know, thank you for, I'm seeing that you are through this experience where you've really been such a valuable person in the community during this natural disaster that you've decided to start a new charitable organization. So tell us a little bit about the Montecito Village Recovery Charity.
Yeah, so, you know, I think it's the community's responsibility from a fiduciary and community-based responsibility to really step up to the plate and ensure that if millions, potentially millions of dollars are raised, virtually every penny goes to the victims. You know, not only the victims that have lost lives, but financial lives, all belongings are gone, right? You know, think about it. I mean, not many people had flood insurance, okay? You know, hopefully they get made whole, right? But it's going to be a fraction of the value of their losses, right?
Especially for those that won't be able to rebuild for one reason or another.
Right, that, and it's not just the home, but it's everything in the home. It's the clothes. People have nothing now, not even shoes, okay? So you know, it's when you see the scale and scope of the mass destruction and the violence and ferocity, it's just mind-boggling, right? It's insane. Okay, I'm there. I'm looking at this. I see homes that are 8 to 10 foot in mud. All you see is the roof. Okay, so there's a couple things that need to be done. You know, I'm assembling a board representing the community to ensure that it's from the community to the community. Okay, so this is kind of in the preliminary stages. Right, we want to make sure that, hey, can we really make a difference, and can we raise the amount of money that's going to be required to help all these people, businesses, and so on and so forth. So you know, what we're doing is I've assembled a team. I've spoken to the captain of the CHP, Cindy Pontes, who has expressed interest in joining this board. We've got Abe Powell, who's the is one of the directors of the Montecito Fire Department and is also the chief of the Bucket Brigade. He's expressed some interest. You've got Daz Williams, who's the Santa Barbara City Supervisor. And I'll tell you an interesting story about Daz. He was one of the guys that I fed. One day I was there all by myself. It was a Thursday. I literally made 250 sandwiches all by myself, right? And I was standing from 10 to 7 solid, not one single break. Right. And I, you know, I had hundreds of firefighters and, you know, special, you know, search and rescue people in there. And Daz was one of those. Right. And he says, what are you? I said, I don't accept money. You know, I said, I have a GoFund. And he says, well, I'm going to blow you up. Right. That's what he said.
Right.
I said, okay, great. I didn't know who the guy was. Right.
Nor did you know really what that meant.
No. But a week later, literally a week later, he's on Ellen DeGeneres' show.
Right.
And he made it a point to give us a shout out, you know. And would you believe, the very next morning, okay, I go to pick up pastries at Anderson's, and I typically don't. The very next morning, who do I see sitting there eating breakfast by himself? Daz Williams. Mm-hmm. You tell me the chances of that.
Right.
So I sat with him. I explained this, you know, potential 501c3 charity, and he's expressed some interest in potentially joining. We've got Jeffrey Barbaco. Right, who's a customer? I've been making sandwiches for this guy for a year. I didn't know who he was, but he's the former chairman of MGM, and he's the chairman of the Santa Barbara Film Festival. He's on board, so we've got a dream team to make sure that this is done right.
Well, thank you so much for not only being here, but for everything that you did and everything that you continue to do. You've been listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week.